Thank you for downloading this message from New Horizon AOG Church. We pray that it inspires you to arise and shine.
Hallelujah. Are we on? Hello? Yeah? Oggy, Oggy, Oggy! 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 Oggy, Oggy, Oggy! Oh, that's brilliant. We're on. Heidi, hi! Fantastic! And everyone under 40 just didn't know what just happened there. But just for one last time, Heidi, hi! Oh, we've enjoyed some Saturday nights we have at round Grandma's house. Yes, I should buy all the staff some yellow coats. Yes, is that right? And some glasses and a duster, looks like the cleaning team. Is it Sue Pollard? Good. Before we start, I just want to, myself and speaking on behalf of my wife, we want to say a huge thank you for last night and everyone who took part. And we've still not opened all of our cards, but we just want to thank you for every gift, every thought, every text message, all of the love that you've shown us throughout the year and last night. So can you just give yourselves a big round of applause? It was an amazing time. And we need to really pray for this Saturday for Shine. And can I just encourage you, if you are here and if you are a female, then please book on to the Shine Conference today. And why don't you just buy in faith someone a ticket or invite someone? We've still got spaces available. Not many, but we've still got spaces. So why don't right now, I'm going to pray that God will drop into your heart. Someone will come to mind. And sometimes we don't get because we don't ask. And what's the worst they can do is say no. Yeah? And so just I'd encourage you, maybe right now God's giving you somebody to think about or to invite. So just a few things before I start. Has everyone enjoyed my month of values? And so we've done some values, and now we're going to come to vision. And our values is we are a reverent, relevant community. Okay, turn to the person next and say, we are a reverent, relevant community. Community. We are irrelevant. We put God first all of the time. We are a relevant church that we've got to have the message of Jesus and introduce it to our culture and our context. And we are a community that the Bible says that we are sheep and sheep gather in flocks. And so we are a community to be there for each other, to love one another, to share each other's burdens. And the Bible says, do not give up meeting together. If you want to backslide this morning, leave the church. I've got a great sermon about five ways to backslide. But anyway, one in that five would be, don't go to church. I want to say this morning, a lot of people I've met saying, you don't need to come to church, become a Christian. Yes? Because you can receive Jesus as your personal savior, but you're going to need the church to stay a Christian. That's how it's been for my life. And so, you know, and there's no perfect church, okay? Just to put that out there. So I'm sorry, I'm not perfect. Please talk to my wife after if you don't believe that. And she will tell you some stories. But just hitch up with any relationship, yes. You know, in sickness and in health, yes. Through the bad times and the good times, through disagreement, sometimes when it gets, we have to work through some issues. But I just want to encourage you that if you want to build anything successful in life, you've got to work at things. Yes, if you want to, you know, you might look at me and Becky and our two children and think, oh, don't they have it all together? And we love one another, but in our lives, we have to work through something because that's what love does. Is that right? And so please keep persevering. If you've been offended in church, because I've been greatly offended in church, if you've been hurt in church, and can I say I transitioned my own church, okay, about a prophet, and I've been greatly hurt in church, and it's okay that when we get hurt and when we, well, it's not okay, but when we get hurt with church, just remember two things. Number one, not everybody's like Jesus. And stop taking things out on Jesus when it was somebody else, not Jesus. The only reason I'm still here is because I've kept my eyes on Jesus. Some people's hurt me, but that's them. That's not Jesus. Yes, it makes no sense taking out on Jesus. Yes, I'm following Jesus. Yes? Now, I've always followed my leaders, but I'm following Jesus first. Yes? And so I've kept on the journey because I'm following Jesus. Okay? And secondly, sometimes, I know it's hard, but we have to just forgive and realize that some people, I know you might think this is incredible, but sometimes Christians, we make mistakes. Sometimes even Christian leaders make mistakes. And I will never guarantee I will never make a mistake leading you. Okay? And so let's just be grace. And maybe right now, as I'm talking to you or you're listening on podcast, maybe you need to just try. I know sometimes forgiveness is a journey, but we'll try and forgive people who's hurt us in our past and draw a line and say, God, I'm just giving this to you so I can then go into a better place. Because how you leave is how you arrive. Yeah. Yes? If you don't leave well, you won't arrive well. Yes? And then you'll just carry the same baggage around. Yeah? And maybe it's not everybody else. Maybe sometimes it's not been everyone else in my life. Sometimes God said, it's me. Yes? It's like when you've got dog dirt on your shoe. Yeah. Some smells around here. Your house stinks. And this car smells. And oh, yeah. Mm. You're all looking, that's never happened to you, but it happens to me a lot. I don't know why dog poo just attracts to my shoe. It's just like, it's like a magnet. There we go. Amen. Are you ready for some vision? Good. Oh, praise the Lord. I need some advice about cat poo on my lawn, because I, if anyone knows what to do to get rid of it, we don't have a cat. Is that right? Get a cat. Well, I'm not getting a cat, so. No. Not getting a dog either. I'm not an animal person. Does a fish help? I'll get a goldfish in the garden. I'll get some carp off Phil. That's what I'll need some. And then, okay. Good. So we're laying some foundations. We're relevant, a reverent, relevant community. And we need values, because values, vision without values is a train wreck waiting to happen. Like great gift with low character is a train wreck waiting to happen. You need to understand that. And as a church, we value character more than gift. Yes, just say if you've got any ambition or a good ambition to serve in any capacity, what we want is we want high gift, we want high character. Because you can have high gift, low character, there's a train wreck going to be happen. And we will employ high character all day long. The staff that we employ and the leaders that we have are all here because they have shown that to be people, not of necessarily of high gift, even though they are very gifted, but of high character, integrity, honesty. Yes, serving well when I tell them they could do a bit better and all that kind of stuff. Yes. Oh, it's going to be quiet. And so I'm excited because we're going to bring some vision now. But I'm glad that the last few weeks, this month, I'm ready for a break in October. But I've been plowing the field. Yeah. Yes? Yeah. Because you're going to sow some life-changing seeds. You've got to plow the field, because you can sow the seeds in an unplowed field and you'll get a ruined harvest. Yeah. But we've plowed the field. So thank you for plowing the field with me. So we're a reverent, relevant community. That's the field plowed. That's the character. That's the values. And now we're going to come on to some vision. And vision's important because in Proverbs 28 says, where there is no vision, the people perish. So I want to say that we have an incredible vision as a church. Actually, if we're following Jesus, it's impossible for you not to have an amazing vision for your life. Yes? When I woke up as 40 years old this week, I'm so excited at being a Christian and the vision and opportunity that lays before us. So Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1-3, we've read this a lot, but I want to get it into your hearts. This is talking about the men and women of God. New Testament, I believe this is a prophetic picture over the church of Jesus Christ. It says this, arise, shine. For your light has come. Oh, hallelujah. and the glory of the Lord rises upon not Apple, not Google, not Microsoft, not no government, but the glory of the Lord rises upon the church. Yes? We're the only organization on the face of the planet that's been empowered by the Most High God to change the world. Do you know that? See, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the people. I love that. God's a realist. We live in a fallen, broken world. But the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings and queens and men and women from all every tongue, tribe and nation will come to the brightness of your dawn. Come on, church. Let's give God some praise. Wow. What a picture. And so we've looked, we are a reverent, relevant community, and the vision really is this. It's, we are a church that wants to, we are you ready for it? We've got a statement. I want to talk about arising today, transforming tomorrow. Amen? I believe I'm excited today because we serve a God that wants to see transformation. Yes. Who believes that? Oh, just five of us. Who believes that? Arising today, transforming tomorrow. Yes, New Rising Church is all about arising today, transforming tomorrow. If you could sum up Isaiah 60 in just a sentence, it is about arising today. Because God wants to transform your tomorrow. He wants to transform people's tomorrow. Amen. The God of the Bible is a God of transformation, meaning the act and the process of change and conversion that results in reshaping. Oh, I believe God's going to change people's lives this morning. I believe God wants to change your situation. He wants to transform. He wants to conform. We've got some issues in our nation that need reshaping. Yes? And our God wants to see transformation.
Yeah, amen.
We want to see transformed. We want to see broken hearts that are transformed. God wants to transform families. He wants to transform people getting out of poverty. God wants to transform our communities. God wants to transform society. God wants to transform the nations of the world. To summarize this book in a sentence, it's about God wanting to transform people's tomorrow. And to transform people's future, that people who are now destined to go into a life, a Christless eternity, God wants to transform their lives, that they'll receive an eternity with Christ that no man or the enemy can't steal or destroy. It's the very foundation and basis of what we believe. New Rising Church is all about transforming tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why when you walked in, we're not called old Arising Church, and we're not called the same Arising Church, but because we believe in a God of transformation, we are called New Horizon Church. Because we believe whatever your situation, whatever your age, whatever your background, whatever you're facing, God has got something new for your life, and he's got a new horizon for your life. He's got a new calling. He's got a new destiny. He's got a new future. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
That's why we're called New Horizon. We want to be a church that does exactly what it says on the tin.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yes.
A new horizon for your life. The Bible is littered with stories where God gave people a new horizon. Amen?
Amen.
So arising today, transforming tomorrow. I'm going to look at the time I've got left, 3 points, because I want to encourage you. It's not about your pastor bringing out a magic wand. Yes? But if you are a Christian here, and you love Jesus, if you're not a Christian, you are welcome to be here. And if you're on a journey, you're welcome to be here. But if you are a Christian here, I want to say God's got some work for you to do. Every single one of them. It's not just missionaries that go, who are called to share the gospel, but in the New Testament, we're all missionaries. Are you with me? So we're going to look at three aspects of arising today and transforming tomorrow. Is everyone with me? Number one, New Horizon Church, to New Horizon Church and the wider body of Christ, it's our time to arise. If you are a Christian, it is your time. I'm not talking to anyone else this morning. I'm talking to you. It's your time to arise. Arise means to awaken. Are there any giants that need to be awakened? I love the prophetic gifts. For some people, I'm an alarm clock. Maybe you've fallen asleep. Maybe you've disconnected from the purpose of God. Maybe you're just in a kind of a feeling sorry for yourself and there's no decrying that. But I want to say, when you switch focusing on other people's needs, your needs become a bit smaller. Maybe you've fallen asleep. Maybe you're sat in church and life is just passing you by. I'm here to say, that's Becky's alarm clock when it goes off. I want to see the church come awake in our nation. Yes, maybe I need to awaken a giant slayer this morning. Yes. You are so much more than what you're doing. Yes. You're so much more than what you think. Yes. I'm going to call the greatness of God with every breath I've got, the greatness, the champion, the David, the giant slayer within you to rise. Amen. It means to awaken, to wake up, from get up from sitting and lying, and to move forward and upward and take action. Ooh, I don't feel challenged. So on the 29th of September 2019, it's your time to arise. Yeah? Before we get carried away, I just want to lay something in as a foundation, is that regarding arising today and transforming tomorrow, if we're going to arise, you've got to understand that it's what the church does. It's in our DNA. Okay? It should happen organically. Because in Matthew 28, when Jesus is buried, yes, and the women come to the tomb and the angel says, he is not here, he has risen. Oh, come on. Just think about that. And the Bible says something more extraordinary in Romans 8, where it says that that same spirit that was in Christ Jesus, that made his body breathe, that turned this, transformed this corpse into a living, breathing person, fully man, fully God, the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is in you. Amen. Is in all of you. Incredible. That's why there's a beautiful verse about, and you say it at funerals and in the crematorium, that God, who transformed his body, surely he will not transform your body to be like his glorious body. Amen. So we have nothing to fear when we die, because Jesus transformed his own body. And if he can transform his own body, how can he not transform your body? Oh, hallelujah. Come on, let's give God some praise. You're going to need to get excited that without when you... Amen. In Hebrews 12, Paul speaks about arising. He's encouraging the church to say, church, you've got to arise and you've got to run. You've got to run the race. We're all familiar with that. You've got to get to the track. You're athletes. You're running with purpose. You're not normal people. I'm sorry. There's nothing normal about me. You know that. Yes, I live some aspects like a freak, but I am live with incredible intentionality and purpose. And that's what Christians should live like. I'm not saying we live stressed out, but we should live lives full of purpose. And Paul, before Paul speaks about you've got to start running, you've got to arise, he draws the church's attention and says, before you run, make sure you run and you see the cloud of witnesses, the examples that's gone before us. And this morning, just for a few moments right now, I'd feel a burden to remind the church who we truly are. And I'm not just talking about New Horizon, I'm talking about the wider church, because in a lot of contexts, I think we forgot actually who we are. Because we don't just arise, it's in our DNA, it's in our blood, it's in our spirit. It's impossible for us not to arise. Because we belong to an incredible part and group of people, of extraordinary men and women of God throughout history, have influenced eternity and transformed the world. Hebrews 11, Paul marks out those through faith who have conquered kingdoms. That's my family. Do you know that? That's my people. Administered justice and gained what was promised. Who shut the mouths of lions? That's my family. Yes? The saying goes, blood's thicker than water, but spirit's thicker than blood. Hallelujah. Quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness God turned into strength. Is it important we understand our history? A few quotes. A generation which ignores history, if it has no past, it has no future. We don't live in history, but we have to understand history. Another person says, we are not makers of history, we are made by history. That is true. And what I want to focus on, a people without the knowledge of their past, history, origin, or culture is like a tree without roots. Are you with me? We know that the whole Egyptian empire fell apart, the most powerful civilization that's ever existed, because one pharaoh came who was very dumb. What does it say? It came into Egypt a pharaoh who did not know Joseph. Yes? If you want to be a great leader, research your history. Yes? In 1865... a great Christian man called William Booth, born in Snenton, Nottingham, formed the Salvation Army. Transformed the world. This is what he said: while women weep as they do, I will fight. When children go hungry as they now do now, I will fight. While men go into prison, in and out as they do, I will fight. Where there is a poor lost girl upon the streets, while there remains one dark soul without the light of God, I will fight. I will fight to the very end. In 1833, a committed Christian called William Wilberforce took on, we're talking about a Christian man, he took on the establishment of most nations. He devoted his life and he abolished slavery. And just on that day alone, one Christian man broke the chains of 11 million people. Yes? He's my tribe. Yes? In 1966, a young girl called Jackie Pullinger, aged 22, had a vision from God to go to Hong Kong. She didn't want to go to Hong Kong, but she had a vision to go to Hong Kong and to serve Jesus. Now, I know we live in a different context now, and charity commission and all that would have a field day with it. I won't go onto that subject and safeguarding that. I don't know, but anyway. And she got on a boat and she arrived on Hong Kong shore, age 22, with $10 in her pocket. And the city of Hong Kong was full of crime. The drug lords, it was run by the Japanese triads. Incredible violence. And she came ministering to the triads. They got saved through the power of the gospel. She set homes up for prisons and for prostitutes and the girls that had been abused. And one 22-year-old girl, she transformed the city of Hong Kong. Chasing the Dragon, if you want to read a book. Don't read it if you don't want to scare your life. Yeah. 1525, a Christian man called William Tyndale had a vision to see the Bible in every single person's hand and in every single church. And at that time, you need to know that it was illegal to have a Bible. If you had a Bible, you would be shot or you would be executed. And that's why we need to thank God for a Bible, for us to have this Bible today. At William Tyndale, at 42 years of age, was put on a wooden stake and he was strangled and he was set on fire. Come on. You want to make you read it? And not just that he was set on fire and he was executed in front of everybody and they're all cheering, but he said these incredible words. He says, God, open the king, open the eyes of the King of England that he may see that people need the Bible. Oof. 142-year-old Christian man's prayer, open the eyes of the king. He arose his day and he transformed tomorrow. And within 2 years later, God opened the king, the eyes of the King of England, and he allowed every parish, everybody to have the word of God. Yeah. Come on, let's give God some praise. September the 10th, 1946, Mother Teresa experienced what she termed as a call within a call. She was to leave the convent and to help the poor while living among them. It was an order. To fail would have been to break the faith. This is her words. Come on. Oh, Mother Teresa began missionary work with the poor. In 1948, she adopted Indian citizenship and received basic medical training before she began tending the poor. Mother Teresa spent the remaining 50 years of her life dedicated to helping the poor, the sick, and the dying. During 50 years, she established a mission charity. She pioneered and opened a home for the dying. She opened and pioneered an organization to care for homeless children. She helped evacuate 37 children during the siege of Beirut. She greatly helped the relief effort of people suffering with leprosy. Man, what have I done with my life? In 1979, she won the Nobel Peace Prize. Wow. In 1967, last one, a 27-year-old man from Germany, of all places. He had a vision of the nation of the continent of Africa being washed in the blood of Jesus. Didn't fully understand it. His name was Reinhard Bonnke. And he went, he got the boat, and he arrived on the continent of Africa with a microphone and a sound system. And the last recorded count is that the 75 million people have received salvation. Yeah. Amen. Come on, let's give God some praise. Arising today, transforming tomorrow. You need to understand we've got an amazing heritage. Yeah. Without saying it with any pride, the Church of Jesus Christ has transformed the world. Yeah. It's transformed England. And now it's our turn. Amen. You see, it's not surprising that we see these things because ultimately we follow a leader in John 6, verse 37 about Jesus. And what does he say about himself? For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but to be the one who sent me. You see, the only reason we're here because Jesus Christ had to arise. Yes, to transform tomorrow. And for him, he had to leave the throne. He had to leave all the angels. He had to leave his father's side. He had to leave the glory of heaven and come down and live with what we're facing. And he transformed the world. Let me ask you a question. How are you going to arise? Or how are you arising in your life? You might say, Andy, wow, I could never go to Africa and preach the gospel. And this is the truth. 95% of us will never get the call to Africa. I want to talk to maybe there's some people, the 5% of people in here, where you know, I want to just, we're going to finish, but then we're going to have some time this morning. If you need to go, you can, but I'm going to pray for some people. Maybe there's some people in here and you feel God's called you to be a pastor, or called you to be a youth leader, or called you to be a missionary, or called you to be that. And you don't have to have it all figured out, but you just know something's going off in your life where God's just bubbling things up. And the Bible says, the apostle says to people, silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I will give to you. And that's what I want to do this morning. Silver or gold I don't have. Sorry if you've come with that, I'm not. But what I do have, I'm going to give. We're going to call the church leaders and staff. We're going to lay hands on some people. But for most of us, you might not do that, but you might say, well, God's not going to call me to, I don't feel preaching is my thing or whatever. But I want to encourage all of us that it's not just about the big things, but it's about the small things that brings transformation. If you don't think small things can have an impact, try sharing a bed with a mosquito. I want to encourage you, Zechariah 4 verse 10, who despises the day of small things? Maybe God is going to ask you, before God asks you to do anything big, he'll ask you to do something small. Yes? First jobs in church, the overhead projector. Oh, that was demon possessed, that was. I didn't know where it was. Yeah? Assistant tuck shop manager. It was the most organized, it looked brilliant. Yeah? Picking people up, the disabled man, Mr. Leviton, in the wheelchair. Are you all right? No, I'm not. Did you end your... No, I didn't. Every time, are you ready? No, I need the toilet. Oh, I've seen some sights anyway. Because I arise today, we're going to see transformation tomorrow. Come on. Woo! Because it's not just about the big things. It's about the small things. The small things are important in life. The small things. We're here. And you're in this building. And I'm married. I've got two boys. And my father, my mother's here. My grandma and granddad was in this church. My brothers here in Kids Church. My sister's playing the keyboard. We're all partying last night. We're all here. And this, we're all here. Why? Because somebody got and went to Africa and preached a great sermon? No, because one man made one phone call. The pioneer pastor of this church, Ron Beardsley, he was reading the telephone book and he saw the name Dilnot and thought, what a weird name. And the Holy Spirit said, stop what you're doing, ring that number and invite them to the church that you've just planted. My granddad had just returned from the war. He just got a job at Rolls Royce in Hucknall. And they came, they bought a house on Kent Road in Giltbrook. And my nonna and grandpa didn't go to church. They had some kind of Salvation Army background. And he says, excuse me, what's your name? And my nonna says, my name's Grace. And he says, I'm just launching a new church. Would you like to come? She said, well, what's it like? It's a Pentecostal church. I've never been to one of them before. Is it a bit weird? So it's a bit like the Salvation Army. Oh, yeah, I get that. I'll come along. She came. She got saved. She became a Christian. And then my granddad, my grandpa, from the wars, worked on the tools all of his life. He came to church and he gave his life to Jesus. Oh, I'm looking forward to seeing him, church. And then all of the family, we got saved. My two boys, they're under the gospel learning about Jesus this morning. And you're all here, this building's here because one man made one phone call. Let's not despise the day of small things. Amen. Maybe it's talking nice to your boss. You know, for 95% of you, your mission field is your workplace. Yeah. Are you with me?
Right.
Some of you are not convinced.
Yeah.
It's your mission field. Small things. How are we going to arise, church? To New Horizon Church and the body of Christ, it's time to arise, but also we need to understand if we're going to arise today, today's the day. Yeah, today's the day. Turn to the person next to you and say, today's the day. Today's the day. 2 Corinthians 6 verse 2 says, today is the day of salvation. Come on. We've got to seize the opportunity in our lives. In our lives. What's the word for today? And Jesus said in Matthew 28, it's time to go, 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 go in Starbucks, go in Tesco, go in your workplace. Yes? Go in your community, go into your society, go into your school, go into your university, go and go and go into all the world, the lost, the dying, the broken. We are going. We are a church that will go, go, push, push, go, go, push, push. We will arise today because God wants to transform tomorrow. Oh, some people are dreading tomorrow. Some people don't like tomorrow, but we believe God can transform people's tomorrow. Amen. Amen. What a difference a day makes. And I finish with this. Because God can transform your tomorrow. Amen. 2 Kings chapter 7, I finish with this. It's one of my favorite stories. There's a story in the Bible about a city and a donkey's head is being sold for 8 shekels. When a donkey's head is selling for 8 shekels, you're thinking, I'm going mad. It's in the Bible. You can read it when you get home. It means that something really bad has happened. Because what had happened of God's people is that they were surrounded by the enemy. And when an enemy attacked you, before it would attack you, it would surround you so you can't get any food or any water. So basically, you'd starve to death. So when they go and attack you, you're going to be so weak, you can't defend yourself. Clever, right? And the army of the enemy had surrounded people that the people living in the city, they had no new horizon. And the Bible says, and I won't go into the graphic detail, but it got that bad that these people were feeding off each other. They turned into cannibals. And a donkey's head that can't feed many people, can you? Not much meat on a donkey's head. I don't know. I've never tried that. And it sold for like £50,000. Because you know when there's no food, inflation. Pff, yeah? And Elijah turns up. The man, the prophet of God. Oh, I'm excited about tomorrow. This is what he says. 2 Kings verse 7. The officer Elijah replied, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the Lord says about this time tomorrow. Oh, I believe God's going to do some things for people tomorrow in the coming weeks in this church and in our community and in our nation. About this time tomorrow, a sash of wheat, which is 7.5 litres of the finest flour, which if a donkey's head's gone for 50 grand, we're talking £1 million, yeah, will sell for 1 shekel. Yeah? And meaning, that's ridiculous. God can't change the economy of a whole city in 24 hours. God can change your life in less than 24 hours. Yes, sometimes it's a process, I know that. But we believe God can transform tomorrow. And what was the reply? A guy said, the officer whose arm the king was leaning said to the man of God, look, even if the Lord opened the floodgates of heaven, this is a bad thing to say, this could not happen. Elijah said, you will see it with your own eyes, but you will not eat any of it. And what happened is this. The city's in absolute chaos. People are dying, people are broken, people are crying, they've got no new horizon. And on the edge of the city, there's 2 beggars. They're thinking, We're not just going to stay here. We've got to arise. We've got to do something. Yeah? And they had this brilliant talk that said, listen, if we stay here, we're going to die. But if we try and do something, if we die, we're dead anyway. Yeah, simple maths. So what they did, these two beggars, and I don't mind being a beggar in this story, yeah? Unsuspected people, unassuming people. They said, well, let's just walk out and let's start talking to the, let's have a dialogue with the enemy. So they arose from their fear, they arose from their shame, they arose from their disadvantage, and they pushed through all that, and they just said, you know what, we're going to walk out and we're going to talk to the enemy. And the Bible says, I love it. So they're walking out and they're going to talk to the enemy, and as they arise and as they start to move and walk, God turns up. The Bible says, he sends a panic amongst the enemy. And they freak out. They think the army, they've brought all the armies that they're going to attack us. And God brings this scene and he puts a panic. And all the enemy run off for their lives, never to return. But what I love, it, they don't just run off, but they run off in such a panic that they leave their five-course dinners. They leave their gold. They leave their donkeys, the chariots, the herds. They leave everything. The beggars get there and go, oh, thank you, Jesus. And what they did is what we all do. I'm finished. And then they go, oh, well, let's hide it all. We're going to be millionaires. We've got to share the goodness of God. And then they walk back to the city. They see people dying, see people broken. And they look at each other and go, we've got to share. And they said to one another, said to the city, guys, the enemy's gone. Go and get all the food. And everyone rushes out. And within 24 hours, when a donkey's head was being sold for 8 shekels, a sesh of wheat that day, sold for 1 shekel. And as everyone was running the resource back, the man who missed a negative, as they flung open the doors of resource, he got caught behind the door and got trampled to death. Let's stand together. You know what? I want to prophesy over my life and your life and this church and the church of Jesus Christ right now. God's going to transform our tomorrows. Yeah? I believe you're going to have a moment. We're going to arise today and we're going to transform tomorrow. Yes? Who's with me, church? That we're going to see broken hearts transformed. We're going to see broken families transformed. We're going to see society transformed. We're going to see nations transformed. We want to see our families transformed. We want to see, come on, let's start to prophesy. Let's start to see, speak out what you want to see transformed in your life. Come on, we got to bring some praise right now. Come on, let's get serious with God. Say, God, we want to see, we will arise today. And we're going to transform tomorrow. Okay. Before we sing, we're going to sing. I want to say, how are you going to arise? And maybe for some people right now, something of what I've spoken about, it's caught your spirit. And you're sat saying, God, I want you to do something with my life. Or maybe you've got a call bubbling up saying, God, I haven't got it all together. I don't know all the answers. But God, use me for your glory. Use me for your plan. I want to say this morning, if that's you, or maybe you want to become a Christian this morning, or maybe you want to come and recommit your life. Maybe you're here, maybe you're away from God, and you want to say, God, I'm coming back to you this morning. Right now, as we finish, and if you need to go, you can go, so please feel free to do that. But right now, as we sing, I want to say, just come to this altar, and we're just going to pray for some people. If that's you right now, I want to just give opportunity right now. You'll say, God, it's between you and God. This is between you and God right now. Come on, let's worship the Lord. And just come and we'll pray for some people this morning. If you want to say, God, here I am. Here I am. Use me for your glory.
We hope that you've enjoyed this message. For any more information or to download our weekly podcast, please go to www.newhorizonchurch.org.uk.